I'm going to share for a few more minutes before we close. There's something, as Jason was talking, and there, the underlying thing I think in all of that is there's a deception. And that's a lot what has been on my mind the last couple of weeks. I've mentioned a few times over the last while, my boys and I have been reading this series of books, and Josiah, this individual, much like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, that he's journeyed and he's faced all these, he's faced discouragement and different lusts and all these different things that have come upon him. The one thing that has always struck me in it is if perhaps he's become caught up in something, maybe he's become discouraged or despairing or all the different traps that have been the enemy has set before him. There's one theme in it all that has kind of grabbed me, and that is there's always a deception or a lie. And that is what has kind of really grabbed me. I was thinking about what are the greatest tactics of the enemy in trying to, ultimately, the one thing he's trying to do is destroy our faith. And then I think about all of the tactics, I just see in it that in any one of these things, there is deception. And it says, Jesus said of him that he is the father of lies. He is a liar. And I was just thinking even back to the video we saw this morning and thinking about with Nathaniel's response about the PG-13, and you think of that, and it's so that we all, whatever the circumstance, that's an example. It's a great example because all of us can be found in that, where, like Jason was sharing, you're in this decision point of, is this something that's good or not good? Is it something I should set before my eyes or set before my ears or not? And in all of these battles, all of these tests, there's a voice, there's voices, there's two voices there. There can be, and the one voice is trying to justify, but I'm 14 and it's PG-13. It's only a snippet of the movie or a snippet of the book or song or whatever. All of those things are seeking to do one thing, is to really deceive us. That's really what it is. It's lies. And so I was just thinking about this. It's like, man, it's such a interesting element. And when I started to ponder on this, I just started, the opposite of the lies is the truth. And so that is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you think of, I was just wrote down a few things here, different battles that we could face. And this is by no means exhaustive, but I was just thinking of, you know, we can get in a fight with somebody else. We get deceived. Again, it's a deception. It's a lie where the enemy wants us to forget that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against powers and principalities. But if the enemy can deceive us into thinking, forgetting that, and then we get our mindset on that our battle is against flesh and blood. And there's so many different ways that can be in our own home. That can be so many ways that can crop up. Right now, we see it all the time around us where people are fighting against people for just so many ways. It's ultimately a deception. And the goal in my mind, the goal is there is if ultimately the enemy can even get us to the point of being bitter against somebody or some group of people, it's the Bible says that that root of bitterness will destroy many. So it all starts with a deception, getting a sidetracked, thinking we fight against flesh and blood. And then all of a sudden it just spirals. And all of a sudden we find ourselves in this snare of bitterness. What about being weighed down with worries? You know, you say, how is that a deception? You know that the enemy is going to be there just speaking to our mind. Man, how are you going to get done everything that's on your plate? Or whatever it is, we've heard so many stories lately of trials that are related to health. And that's not for a moment, like those are real trials. But in that, you know that the enemy is there. The enemy is there speaking lies into our mind. Oh, the Lord doesn't care. Or trying to get us afraid and worried, trying to tell us or to get us to forget, you know, the promises of God's word, that he is still in control, that he is still on the throne, that he is he cares incredibly about us, all of those things. But the enemy's there saying the exact opposite, trying to get us to believe a lie. Why? To rob our faith. It all comes back to that. Then maybe he can produce discouragement or despair, and discouragement and despair can come from so many different things, but they all come back to the enemy sitting there telling us lies, that again, just telling us things that aren't true. Like, even come back to this little leaven leavens a lump. I mean, that comes back to me, to the lie in the garden, right? We're sitting there and something is set before us, and this voice is in our head saying, you surely shall not die. You can partake of that movie. You surely shall not die. And if you take her that movie, well, I watched that movie. It wasn't so bad. And so then the next movie, it's rated the next level up. Well, you know, I watched the other one. It wasn't that bad. And everybody's watching it. And then all of a sudden, we just see the slippery path. But it all comes back to the enemy lying in our minds, voices in our thoughts that are lying to us that, oh, well, you're strong now. You know, you can discern this. You've got good discernment. You can see the eat the meat and you'll spit out the bones. It'll be fine. The other thought is, if we look at the sower and the seed, it's right in there. It says it would that we can become this. Those thorns are those things. It's the deceitfulness of riches, or the desire for pleasures and other things. But it's right in there. It's a deception that somehow these other things, it's a lie that somehow these other things will bring life. They'll bring the peace and the joy and the happiness and the satisfaction. I bought that lie hook, line, and sinker when I was a late teenager and in my early 20s. I bought it completely, that if only I had whatever that next thing was, that was what it was that was going to satisfy. It's a lie, and it comes from the father of lies. So I've just been thinking about his strategy and the strategy of the enemy. And so the opposite of lying is truth. And so I just, there's so many, when you all of a sudden study lie and truth in the word, it's like, man, it's everywhere. And the value of it where it says that when Jesus came, he was grace and truth. They came together. And it says that he is the truth. There's so many scriptures that talk about this. You think of Philippians chapter 4, this familiar passage. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is, what's the first thing he says that we are to meditate on? Whatever is true. He says to put on the full armor of God. If we're going to defend ourselves against the enemy, what's the first thing it says? Having your loins, having your waist girded with what? Truth. Every one of these, and that's, man, it just is. What does it say in the Proverbs? It says, buy truth and do not sell it. We need to lay hold of the truth. What does that mean? I mean, at its core, we have to buy Jesus. And that is what Jason's already alluded to. It is a willingness to embark on this narrow path. All of these people Jason talked about that are on the wide path, what is it that puts them on the wide path? He said this. These are people who believe, if you were to ask them, they'd actually tell you they're on the narrow path. So what happened? They became deceived. Somehow, they think they're on the narrow path. They lost sight of the truth. They lost sight of the truth. And that doesn't just happen where all of a sudden you're on the narrow path and then boop, you're on the wide path. And just as like, oh, one mistake and you're there. Like, to me, it's a gradual thing. And the enemy comes with a small lie and we latch onto that small lie. And then the next and the next, we become deceived. And so we have to guard our hearts diligently against this. And so that's where I'm going to get to, is how do we do that? How do we guard our hearts against becoming deceived? It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is a strong warning. It says, it's talking about the Antichrist. It says, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. Satan is the father of lies. Let's not forget that. It says, with all power and signs and false wonders, or one could say deceiving wonders. with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not what? They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. When we read the word of God, which it says, Jesus said to his Father, he said, Father, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. If we want to know what the truth is, it's getting into the word of God. It's not complicated. This is not intended to be complicated. It's just getting into the word of God and allowing it to pierce even our own hearts and just say, Lord, I want to read it. I want to understand it. And I want to obey it. Help me to do that, Lord. It says of the old covenant, if we think back to Moses, it said when Moses in the old covenant, he would come out of the tent of meeting and his face would be glowing. And so they couldn't even look at him. It was so bright. So he would put this veil over his face. So they couldn't actually see Moses's face. And then, and Paul says that same veil still remains today. And I'll tell you that same veil still that was 2000 years ago. It's still in 2021, that same veil still remains. And what he says is that veil is the fact that when people read the word of God, they don't understand it. That's the veil. Is when we read the word of God, we don't understand it. It says, but the veil is removed. That means when the veil being removed, it means we can read this and it's alive. We understand it. It says that veil is removed in Christ. I could probably figure out almost the day in my life when that veil was removed. I was at Bible school in Austria. I've told you this story. And I remember when I made that decision in my heart to say, Lord, I give you it all. And it was music. Jason talked about music. It was music. And I've shared this before. It was music that drove me to that point. It was this battle inside me to let go of this music I loved, which was non-Christian music. And it wasn't, you know, it was bad music. And I just made a decision. I said, Lord, you can have the music and everything else. I don't care. And when I made that decision, boom, the veil was removed. The Lord just opened my eyes. It was like scales fell off my eyes. And I began to read the truth of his word. And it was alive to me and it made sense to me. And if that hasn't happened, I encourage you, just come to Christ and surrender your heart and say, Lord, I'm willing to take up my cross and follow you. I want you. I want to know you. I want joy and peace in my life. And I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to listen to lies. I had listened to up to that point. And even after that point, I was deceived again. And I had to repent 4 years later and come back to Christ so that the veil could be removed again. But the lie, the deception I believed was that I would find my life in other things. I just needed this and I needed that. And I needed a relationship and material things. And all of it was a lie. And I listened to that lie. And I just want to encourage us. We don't want to listen to lies. We want to know the truth. We want to buy the truth and not sell it. I sold it. I had it and I sold it. I sold it. What did I sell it for? I sold it for the flesh. I sold it for the things of this world, which don't satisfy. That's how we sell the truth, is when all of a sudden we start sowing to the flesh. Just like Jason talked about, we exchange the truth of God, it says, for a lie. The lie can be many, like there's many lies the enemy tells us, but they're ultimately all to take us away from Jesus. So we need to guard our hearts. So how do we avoid being deceived? We need to, Paul says this of Timothy, to Timothy, he says that they would be constantly nourished on the words of faith. He exhorted them. He was challenging them, challenging Timothy. In chapter 4, he says, but the Spirit says explicitly that in latter times, people are going to fall away from the faith. What does that mean? They're going to believe lies and they're going to become unbelieving. And it says here, they're going to pay attention to deceitful spirits. That's it. They've been deceived. They listen to a lie. But he says to Timothy, he says to them, he's talking about pointing truth out to them through the word, the lies that these men are going to rise up and share. And he says, no, that by sharing the real truth of God's word, these people will be sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine. We need to get into God's word. It says, that's where we come back to. It says, whatever is true, it says, meditate on these things. Whatever is honorable and pure, meditate on these things. He says, the other passages that just came to my mind, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, if you've been seated with Christ in Colossians 3, he says, keep setting our mind on things above. We just need to really get into God's word. And this is how we, and this is why we fellowship together. We can remind each other of the truth. And just even listening to Jason share this morning, it can challenge us, challenge me. Lord, are the things that I set before my eyes, the things that I set before my ears, have I made provision? Am I making provision? I don't want to be deceived. And that's for all of us. So we need to get into the truth of God's word. Remember how the enemy came. He even twisted scripture when he came to Jesus. But Jesus defended all of those things by clinging to the truth of God's word. And so I just want to encourage us this morning to remember, hey, the enemy is coming to do one thing, to lie to us. And I do see that. I see this people, if somebody were to, I interact with somebody and I can, perhaps they just shoot me a text or something like that. And you just can sense that, you know what, there's a battle going on. And then they might share something with me. And I just say, wow, I just see that they're believing a lie. It's become more clear to me where people, somebody, even for myself, you become discouraged or become deluded, thinking delusioned or deceived, thinking something else is, it's like it says, you think bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. You become confused. All of that is done away with. All of that confusion is done away with when we come back to the word of God. So I just want to close with an example that came to my mind this morning. I hope it makes some sense to you. But years ago, Darren and I had watched a documentary, and I just remembered it this morning. It was about the Six-Day War in 1967, where Israel defeated Jordan, Syria, and Egypt in 6 days. And so building up to this point, these three nations, it was becoming clear there was going to be war. And so the Israelites, rather than wait, knowing they couldn't defend themselves if all these three countries attacked them, they planned an offensive to go against these three countries and try and beat them by being more aggressive. And there's one key point I want to share, but the interesting thing, even as I was watching little bits of the documentary, rewatching a little bit this morning, the one thing they did just like this is they sought to deceive the enemy. Even as you're sitting there watching some documentary about a war, even this guy's on, the number one thing you can do is deceive your enemy. Yes, it's true. We have an enemy who's seeking to deceive us, but praise God, we can stand on the truth of God's word. We don't need to be afraid. We can stand on the truth of God's word and know that his spirit, as much as the enemy is there lying, the truth, we have the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that can bring to remembrance God's word, that we can say, no, that's a lie. I'm not believing that. No, that's a lie that that's going to satisfy. No, that's a lie that I actually need to be upset with that person, because it's not that person I'm fighting against. I fight against the devil, against powers and principalities, and I have one who's defeated them. So they sought to deceive them. But the key point that was really interesting, and it's an example of how we need to be nourished on the word of God versus becoming slack and seeking after Jesus and seeking after his truth. The Israelites did an experiment before the war, because much of this place was desert. And the experiment was to walk some of their soldiers the entire length of Israel in the month of August. So they would walk them 17 miles a day. So that's over 30 kilometers a day. And up to this point, the army's policy was every soldier was rationed 1 liter of water a day. And so what they discovered in walking these men through Israel in the heat of August was they would sweat up to 20 liters of water a day. And so they quickly figured out, we need to give them more water. So they increased the ration of water. And basically the new policy was, if I understood and followed it correctly, was prior to marching the soldiers in the heat of the desert, they would give them 5 to 6 liters of water. They had to drink 5 to 6 liters of water before they started marching. And then while they were marching, they would consume 1 liter every hour. And what they found with this new policy was they could basically march the soldiers indefinitely. The soldiers basically eliminated heat exhaustion and dehydration. The Egyptians did not have this policy. And so when the Egyptians and the Israelites met in the desert of Sinai, these soldiers who were just immersed with water or just soaked basically with water, they didn't get dehydrated. They didn't die. And they said in this video, they don't obviously have hard fact on this, but that the Egyptians lost more soldiers to dehydration and heat exhaustion than they did to anything else, because their soldiers had no water. They just died in the desert. And the point of this, maybe it's not a perfect example, but I just think of this massive consumption of water that the Israelite army said, this is what our soldiers must do. This is the policy. I want you consuming a liter of water every hour when you're marching. And before you go out on a long march, we want you to consume up to a gallon and a half of water, 5 to 6 liters of water. It's an insane amount of water. But what they found was, it was what saved their lives. And to me, I just think, hey, you know what? We can learn from that. Let's take that natural example and think about just pursuing the truth of God's word the same way, knowing that we have an enemy who's seeking to lie to us, but we serve a God who's greater. We don't need to be afraid, but we do need to take our enemy seriously and recognize he's coming to deceive us, and none of us wants to be deceived. So let's not become deceived by lies. Let's cling to the truth of God's word, but we can't cling to it if we don't know it, if we're not seeking the truth of his word, if we're not getting fellowship to be able to encourage one another, remind one another when perhaps all of a sudden we have listened to a lie. I've had that many times. All of a sudden I'm with a brother, and oftentimes it's just, you know, somebody shares a testimony. It's like, man, I need to get my eyes set back on eternal things. I've become caught up in the worries of this world, and that's not where I need to be. I need my mind set on the eternal things. Those are wonderful reminders. So I just want to encourage each of us this morning. Let us get into the truth of his word. Let's study it. Let's lay hold of it, that we don't become deceived, that we don't start to allow leaven, like Jason shared, into the lump and begin to get leavened out. But let's just cling to his word.